Dennis Johnson is with me as my producer and technical operator. In that context, though, I want to extend best wishes and a speedy recovery to Graham Vaughan, who has been working with us on this project in recent times as well. He's had a serious accident, and from all information that we've had, it suggests that we really need to prayer for his speedy recovery. So I sincerely hope that those of you who have the power of prayer will do your best to hope for and pray for him, that he will certainly come out of this particular crisis, he and his immediate family. So what's on the agenda today? Well, let me say to you that so much has been happening so quickly, but sometimes it is better for me to come into this program and rather than try to say anything at the start of it and appear to want to set the agenda for you, I would sometimes like to have you set the agenda. So let's go and do just that by going straight to the telephone lines. Hello?
A blessed good morning to you, David.
Yes, morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Yeah, I'm holding on. I want to join you in hoping that Graham makes a speedy recovery as well.
Yeah.
I've had a few conversations with him, and I've heard him over the airways for a period of time, especially on the gospel side of it, and he seems to be a good man. So, you know, all you could do is pray and hope that God will answer our prayer.
Yes.
And I hope that the family remains strong as well.
Yes.
So how are you doing?
I'm well. What about you?
I hold it now. I'm trying to abide with the time. Just trying my best here with these monkeys, because I am trying to make something of agriculture, as you know, but nothing is not happening.
What do you mean that you're trying to make something of agriculture? What is it that you want done? Because I am going to put it to you.
Uh-huh.
That a lot of people who talk about agriculture only speak about it in the context of what assistance they need. And as I understand it, I mean, I've listened to budget speech after budget speech in this country over the years, and this agricultural sector appears on the surface to have been given very much. But as much as it gets, it seems as though it wants even more. So let me hear from you what it is that you need.
Well, for now, starting off, you need the monkey issue dealt with as a matter of urgency. David.
Who's to deal with the monkey issue? The government, right?
The government got to deal with it for now, because I ain't got no firearm.
The government has to.
And the only way you can control this monkey issue is to put a gunshot in some of them. And an old gentleman, a couple of years ago, he had serious problem with the monkeys too. He could not get anything. And he got two of them shot. And
you know, it's amazing to hear you all talk about the monkey problem in this way. Look, in other countries, it is the monkeys, you know. People have deer and all sorts of things running wild, and they go into people's fields. And, you know, I was talking to a guy last week. He was a beekeeper. And he was talking about the experience of farmers in places, other parts of the United States. So Barbadians are not alone when it comes, as farmers, we are not alone when it comes to having animals that come into what you see as your territory and having to face how we're going to fix the problem. But is it, you see, part of the difficulty we face in Barbados is that it seems as though too many people look to the government to fix every problem. What about community action? What is it that you may be able to do at the community level? How can you join forces with other people to try to find a solution to the problem?
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying to you, David, that how much small people you know have access to firearms, number one.
Well, you see,
you can't get the monkey poison. You cannot get no monkey poison. Listen to me for 1 minute as a man that know what he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to have a nice little dialogue, and you will help me, and it will help you.
Okay.
I'm saying to you that there are a lot of farmers in Barbados. I know you talk about America and them kind of places. But them, I live in Barbados, which is 160 square miles. We, the farmers, we try to put food on everybody's table. So we need help.
You're not alone in that regard. Other people do the same thing.
Of course, but what I'm saying to you is I'm not only speaking for myself, David. There are
that's not the issue.
Farmers out there.
The issue is not whether you're speaking for yourself.
That need help as well. So when it comes to this
my issue with you and other people who speak about some of the problems that we face is that I recognize that there is a role for government. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But all too often, and we have discussed this not only today, we've said this before, that there is a requirement on the part of people who want to find solutions to problems for them to be able to initiate discussion and come up with some ideas of their own rather than turning to the government or only for solutions to the problem.
But let me tell you something. I understand what you are saying clearly. That if you are big to hurt you, you cry out. But you have to understand that this issue that I am talking about is a national issue.
Agreed.
And you have to understand that if the persons who are growing food are affected in this manner, you would understand what is going on, David, and with their livelihoods, and you cannot
tell me this.
That's what I'm saying to you,
based
David.
Based upon your personal experience, when's the last time monkeys raided your fields?
Up to yesterday evening. That's what I'm saying to you.
What did they take?
Well, I have some shites there that I not so long transplant. They pull up every single one of them. They're just biting off the bottoms and they fling back the tops there, David.
What caused that? Because you know sometimes they're very retaliatory. So
yeah, but I don't interfere. I'm saying to you, David, they are reaping havoc on every single thing that they can find. And the reason for that is that they have come more inland. Because all the habitat that they used to be in has now gone into housing and commercial buildings. So obviously, if you have taken away their habitat, they are coming more inland and they're ravaging every single
thing. One of the answers that I heard somebody advance to the problem was that we should be planting more fruit trees and stuff in our areas that are frequented by the monkeys, in the gullies and those places. So because if they don't have food, especially in the dry season, if they don't have food where they normally live, they are going to move from there and make life difficult for other people. So when we're talking about trying to find a solution to the problem, it is not only shooting the monkey.
You got to get rid of them.
Well, you don't eat them then?
I will eat what monkey, what David? I want the monkey to eat. Why don't you send somebody that got money with a firearm and shoot some and skin them and bring a 10-pound for you to cook for a Sunday meal? Why you should be telling me eating them? You like to insult people in a diplomatic way.
It is not that because you know full well that there was a time when people ate more monkey meat in Barbados.
Yeah, but I don't want the monkey meat. But I want the monkey meat.
Well, you might not want any, but there may be people out there who may want to go in that direction. But the more significant point is, and I think to say that is not to insult you or anybody else, but it is to recognize that that has been a practice that may now, the very fact that it has stopped, may help increase the kind of problem that you've spoken about.
David, you see the thing is with Mugby and other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll be fair with you. If I'm planting, all people want is a concrete jungle. And as you rightfully said, I'm totally agreement with you that every household that comes on board in Barbados now, they need to plant. David, there's no tree that I have not planted. I got bananas, I have plantains, I have figs. I am now on a
cassava. You also have cassava, I'm sure.
Well, I got to go out and get the sticks from around the body place them more. If you're trying to be facetious, I have kept the breed and I have them, so I will have to go when I see the sticks and take out the body sticks to get to land myself in a problem, if that is what you want to hear.
Okay,
but
fair
on a bigger note now, and you see, you got to go with this childish behavior all the time. So, but I am a man and 100% man. I'm
one thing I tell you, boy, if there's monkey. One thing I learned about you is that you got some guts. You are a strong man.
But I did not come up on corn curls and them kind of things, David. I come up on yams and breadfruits and potatoes and the same green bananas that high in iron. I didn't come up hungry. I come up with a grandmother that liked to cook. So if you come up with conquerors and them kind of things, I come up on them things, yes.
Well,
things,
that's not the kind of strength that I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you listen to me, gun. But if you are hungry, your brain will be hungry. Mm-hmm. A hungry man is an angry man, David. You know that. I believe you have children, and I believe you were a family man. You know how it is to be hungry. You cannot function hungry. So when you go on that kind of road, I come out on ground food.
At the end of all of this, though, we do have a problem with the monkey population.
It's a serious thing.
And the issue that I put...
You try to take me and go down a joke road.
No, not a joke road, because I asked you, the first question I put to you is, what do you believe that people like you can do to help fix the problem?
The problem
rather than
is,
just
David,
looking to the government alone to fix the problem
you want
to
hear something? You want to hear something? Today is what, Friday?
Yes.
Wednesday afternoon. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinning out some, I hash out some papas. So I removed them from the hashing area and I'm putting them on the hedgerow. I don't know if you know what the hedgerow is.
I don't want to come to this farm that you tell me about.
You got to come.
You know how long I was starting to come to this farm?
Stop crossing. Let me tell you what I'm telling you.
Yeah, tell me though.
And then I count about 76 monkeys. About 15 to 16 out of that have young babies strapped on their belly. And I'm glad sometimes when it is the mango season. Because when it is the mango season, it is not that hard on the farmers because they're going to mango trees and they fill up the belly with mangoes. But this time around, the mango tree has not bared like before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying to you, David, and I'm not the only person who plants. There are a lot of people in Barbados who plant to help themselves.
I understand the point.
And for a lot
but let me ask you this. If you say that the mangoes a source of food for the monkeys.
That is why I have realized
but
over a period of time.
Okay, fair enough. So when we don't have mangoes in season,
you would imagine what happened to your ground.
The question is, what alternative fruit might they be gravitating to? And is there a need for us to look at that alternative fruit in the period?
If you could have, I could tell you what they like. I could tell what they like very, very bad.
What's that?
Ripe bananas and the same mangoes. And if you have golden apples, they would enjoy the golden apples. And if you got corn, David, you could guarantee that every single corn break out and eat when they're at cooking stage. Not when they get too hard, when they're at cooking stage. I had over 200 holes of corn and I ain't get none. Not one, David, they come in this house to eat, I ain't get one cell. So when people get their one side of talking ignorance, they don't understand the pressure that the farmers in this country, and all we do is try to help ourselves and feed the nation on a greater span. So it is not that I come into John Public and John to Brass to talk ignorance, and I got nothing better to do. I am trying to help myself.
Yeah, but
and
the only problem with your argument
like,
is the only problem I have with the argument that you present is that you don't come with any possible solution other than saying the government must shoot the monkeys.
But the problem, I just come with a solution, David. You cannot. I have been in this thing from time I was a boy. You are not understanding
so
what I'm saying.
So what's the solution again?
The solution is that they have to get the powers that be, David, that could afford guns and the firearms to get rid of the monkeys. That is the only solution.
Okay.
And if you take that, there's anything else can work. Nothing else can work with the monkeys because you cannot get the monkey trick. You cannot put them the poison for the monkey. The monkey and a rat, not a stray dog that you could get rid of. They have to be shut down and get their population dwindle. Or not all the farmers in this country will not get nothing, David. That's the point I'm making.
Okay.
And I thank you for your time, and God bless you.
Thank you very much. We're coming right back. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, morning.
Good morning, Miss Ellis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I didn't hear anything clicking just now. That's normally give me an indication of whether I'm going to be on next. A couple of things there, really. For the first caller, the monkey problem is not the only problem that we have with Barbados concerning farming. The other problem is that a small farmer plants, and he gets ready to reap, and when he goes to reap, now there's nothing to be reaped. So therefore, there are two problems. And killing the monkeys, I would not be for that, because I tell you why. There are so many animal lovers in this world, and when they read about the Barbados starting to destroy the monkeys, we start to have a bad reputation. Even in Australia, when you have a threat to surface with the great white shark, or the great white shark might injure somebody seriously, you are not allowed to kill them because they are protected. So killing is not the right way to go about solving a problem with the monkeys. But my main concern, oh, by the way, when Mr. Patrick King, this question was asked at CBC last year. Patrick said that he's studying law. And when he come on the police, is that there was a circular on Facebook. It was dealing with the amount of people that presumably will be going home. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh. But last night I passed by Marshall Street and there was this heavy discussion there. And I tell this thing.
About what?
About the amount of people that will be sent home. And I had this heavy discussion. And I realized that some of the people who said they voted for the Barbados Labour Party, though, they're beginning to get angry. They're not seeing things as that was promised them. And therefore, some of these people who support the Barbados Labour Party are beginning to get angry, though. I always tell people that politicians will come and promise the word. And they don't want to get any jokes. You can't be best for that.
But what, see, in all seriousness, how long ago we had elections?
Man, you tell me. Even when we had elections for 2 months now, it's about time that we see some...
We had elections, excuse me, immediately after that, the government said that they discovered that we were in more debt than we thought, so, and that they were forced to bring the International Monetary Fund in.
Mm-hmm.
The fund is still here, trying to work out the details of a program with Barbados. And it could only be a pretty unreasonable individual who would be sitting down expecting that within the 2 month period there would be that kind of turnaround.
No.
Now, if you told me that some people may be disappointed with some aspects of how the government has implemented its policy, that is understandable.
Uh-huh.
But to expect a turnaround in this economy within 2 months is really overreaching, and you know that.
Right. Nobody will be so silly to think about that. I draw an example to you. The minibus men are complaining, and you can see why they're complaining. I explained this to Dennis Johnson already, but Dennis Johnson always stumbled. If somebody live work at Snarkom and live in Harris Gap, they don't have to do much drive, that much driving. This is the problem. Before the tax was put on to the diesel, and you had to make a record. Let's say you empty your car, your minibus, and it was on empty, and it was on empty. And you were recorded, let's say, for example, you put in $100 in diesel, right? At that time, you recorded how much $100 liters would be. You may have a recording of that. This is more accurate than anything. Comparing what we put in $100 now, you are getting less. So what the minibus drivers are saying, that they are putting in more money now than they were putting in before, and they would like the government to do something about it. I could understand that. There's another thing, too. When the social partners, they were being critical of the former government, it was all hell broke loose out there. Things were wrong and things were bad. But look what will happen now. And some hotels don't like it. When you are asking tourists to pay per night per room. And I saw on Facebook a lot of comments concerning this charge that the government put on. So I would advise the minister, whoever is of tourism, to review this again. And the last one...
So how do you determine whether the tax is hurting tourism or not? Merely been critical of it on Facebook or whatever?
Give it a chance. But I'm telling the minister...
But you're saying give it a chance or you're saying review it?
Give it a chance and then after 6 months you can review it. I am after the end of the winter season. You can review it again. I don't mind giving him a chance. But the other thing is,
I find that in looking at matters that impact on tourism, I find that we sometimes overreact to some of what is happening. And you know, every jurisdiction has to do its own thing. Some of our competitors have also had to take measures that ultimately will impact on visitors. I mean, I was just talking the other day about what people see in a place like London today. And London is a place that a lot of people visit, you know.
Of course.
But, I mean, with the onset of Brexit and all of that, there has apparently been a significant change in prices there.
Of course.
You know,
if you look
at the issues that impact on tourism, the question of the increase here and the increase in the cost of living in a place like London, perhaps that may have more of an impact on people coming here than what we have imposed. I suppose at the end of the day, you might say when you put all two of them together, it makes a vacation in Barbados more expensive.
But
we got to be careful not to, the main point I'm trying to make is we got to be careful not to overreact, because the principle is this, that in all that we are doing in Barbados, I've heard other people complain that the Barbadian taxpayer was being asked to shoulder too much of the burden, and we were giving the hotels all types of breaks, but whatever break they got, the Barbadian taxpayer was shouldering the burden of the visitor to the country. So there are two sides to that argument.
Yeah, but you realize that we are doing something on the opposite in the United States. What happened in the United States or Obama? He decided to tax the rich people, and this taxes will help the social welfare programs. Donald Trump came in office and decided to take off the taxes off the rich people. And some economists said that will make investors confidence, which is showing the United States. And the United States is growing great, rapid growth in their economy.
But that was so before
don't
President
mind that.
Trump
it's a continuous,
came.
Yeah, but you know, in politics.
You know full well the crisis that Obama faced when he became president of the United States. And it was absolutely necessary at that time because the free market system had been failing with the housing bubble and all of that. And it was necessary for the government to be involved in a massive stimulus program. President Trump can now come and say, I'm rolling that back. But he doesn't have the same problem. As a matter of fact, he came and found a much better wicket to bat on.
I agree. I can't disagree that. But I tell you this thing, though. What the Prime Minister of Barbados have to do next year, she now have to re-look at these things and review a lot of these things. Because the one more thing I have to tell you, and I'm really disappointed with it, I only found nobody here there. When you go to a specialist and he recommend that you have to take an operation, the cost that he give you is the cost for his operation and the cost for using the equipment at the hospital. But literally, they tell you that you have to pay for the cost of the hospital bed. And I am asking the surgeons, the eye surgeons, that next time that they are doing this business.
You mean when you go to him as a private patient?
Pardon me?
When you go to him as a private patient?
I attended a surgery, a surgeon with a friend of my own. And that cost, I just come up to him, but he has to pay the hospital $600 for you.
So he went as a private patient? Even though...
Yeah, private patient.
Right.
You don't like it. You should put that cost onto what the doctor will charge you for the operation. But don't wait to know to, and then next 3 or 4 weeks you're getting a letter from the hospital telling you that you only the hospital $600. I want to see a stop to that. And also... And the last one, the prostate operation for men. I find that that's going up. Now, a friend of mine will just pay how it is done for $35,000. And I think that's a hell of a lot of money.
$35,000 for that kind of operation?
Yeah. I was certain surgeons.
That sounds really expensive for truth. You got insurance? You got to sell the house?
Yeah, insurance pay a part and he had to pay the other part.
That's expensive. There's no doubt about that. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Allen.
Yes, good morning.
Greetings and salutations to your good self. Permit me to begin my today's submission by first quoting from hymn Ancient and Modern, verse 1, 338. Heavenly Father, send thy blessing on thy children gathered here. May they all thy name confessing be to thee forever dear. May they be like Joseph, loving, truthful, and chaste and pure, and their faith like David, proven steadfast until death endure. End of quotation from the first hymn. Mr. Ellister, the Minister of Education, the Honorable Sancho Bradshaw, should be commended for her concern pertaining to the deviant behavior on our schools, in our schools. But all is not lost. Our children are exposed to modern technology, where the good, bad, and the indifferent can be found in their iPad, Facebook, and WhatsApp. And our youth should put themselves in the place of those 12 young footballers and their coach trapped in the fast-flooding cave in Thailand more than 2 weeks. Which brings me back to the point that it was an error to remove religious education from the school's curriculum.
Excuse me. What do you mean from the school's curriculum? Religious education has been removed from the school curriculum completely?
Well, I was told this. I have no
Who told you that?
I was told that.
I don't know that religious education has been removed from the school curriculum in Barbados completely. I know that after a certain stage in school, people are given choices. And some people, depending upon the career path that they want to take, they actually opt not to do religious education. However, there are also organizations in schools today where people meet after school. And this has been going on for years. At the primary level, I do not know that religious education has been removed from the school. This is not the United States.
Well, this is what has drawn to my attention. However, as one of your counterparts, comrades, once said, you don't believe everything that you read in a paper. However, sir...
You didn't say you read it in a paper. You said that somebody told you that. Don't blame the paper for what somebody else told you.
I'd like to be sure. But I think I had also came across that it had been removed from the schools, and someone had said that when certain denominations are not from the same religion, what you're going to do about that. However,
some people opt not to go to certain assemblies and that sort of thing because that is against their faith. So that is an option that some people exercise because of the faith that they pursue.
However, let me make reference to the 12 Thailand boys, who I think had a very strong faith in the Almighty God. They realized taking time with God is the best place to find strength. And in conclusion, Mr. Ellis, this time of the year, names are submitted for national honors. I'd like to see this year the name of 3 journalists as the recipients. One for the knighthood, who I think should be Mr. Harold Hoyt, and for the second highest honor, Mr. Tony Cave, and the humble servant, which is your good self, Mr. David Ellis. Those are the 3 names that I'd like
to see. There's a process for getting those things achieved. That process means that you have to write. All right? Okay. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You're on the air. 434-1790. Hello.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, good morning to the rest of management and staff. I would just like to rein in a little bit on this monkey issue that a caller was calling about. Now, I sympathize with that caller who said he's a farmer and other farmers, but at the same time, you know, the authorities can't just put guns in every Tom, Dick, and Harry hand for the sake of killing monkeys, because remember that chap got to remember that these days that people does get very funny. When there got any dispute, you don't want that anything happen or that they turn the guns on somebody, because you, these days you got to be very careful.
He said the monkey's so clever. Some of them are so careless with their firearms. The monkey might disarm them and use the firearm on them.
Well, that is another thing too, sir. And let me say something quickly too before we go. That nowadays, it ain't so much the monkeys that is the problem. There are other problems now in Barbados that causing a lot of heartache and things to families. I don't even want to go there because I know the radio stations don't like to deal with that kind of issues neither. They just try to shun from them. But at the same time, I would like to let that fellow know that fire is one of the greatest problems and enemies that mankind have. Because, for instance, I will show you something, sir. If it have even happened to me, I was on my way home some time back, and I saw a fire truck pass me going in the opposite direction. Now, that caused me concern, because I was about half mile from home. Because the problem I had is that I didn't know where it came from. And then another time, one passed me on my way home about half mile too. And I mean to say, I didn't know where it was going. You know, I could have only walked, well, maybe going to out to grass fire or bush fire or something. So I mean to say, people got to understand that with this monkey problem, a monkey is not somebody that you could go and liaise and talk with. They are animals.
How would you suggest that we try to fix the problem?
You know?
Well,
to be honest with you, sir, that with the monkeys, what you could do, you would have to, if you could get them trapped and probably get a park or a zoo to put some of them in, or if you could do something to cut down on their, you know, their breeding habits, you know, you have to tranquilize them, anything sort, you know, or put them in a park, or if you could shift, you could get them shipped out to some countries for medical research and them kind of things. But at the same time, even if you kill every monkey in Barbados, you still don't got some kind of problem, because you might got wild birds.
I saw a piece written by Jean Ballou not so long ago, and he says that based on the research that they have done over a considerable period, he is not suggesting that there's been any significant increase in the monkey population. That's what I saw from the one. He's considered an expert in the area. This question here of the cost of prostate surgery. Someone writes here, good morning, the guy is correct about the cost of the prostate surgery. And the person says, I am sure about that. They're saying what you have to ask is, why is it private and you still have it done at the QEH? This is one of the areas that, you know, I know people have been privately grumbling about this kind of cost. It's not just for this type of surgery, but for other types of surgery as well. And it is a major problem for many people in the country. Now, one of the issues that the new government has to confront is this whole question of health insurance. Because, you know, this was discussed by the former administration. And the idea here is, in the same way that you pay national insurance for other things, that you will create a kind of national insurance scheme for health care so that we would be able to minimize the costs associated with health care to some people. I sincerely hope that we will get more information on that in the coming months. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, morning.
What about the two-legged monkeys that go around kissing people's crops, observing the different stages they go to, and then go back at night and reap them? Them monkeys don't want shooting too. You know what it is that you're in the sun, toiling, planting, and then people come and rob you for years and years and years. And I ain't about talking about shooting them. Not even putting on harsh flames, nothing. You got a response to that?
No, I mean, that is part of the big challenge that confronts people in the farming community in Barbados.
Man is destroying the habitat of the monkeys. They're destroying the homes. What else do they expect? What else? Are there better solutions than shooting them? Why can't we capture them and ship them abroad to zoos throughout the world? Down a better way. The same way I got family planning, where you can, you can't think along those lines rather than just killing them off and then become extinct. Yesterday I came on the program. I said these exact words. I said, I don't know if what I'm about to speak of is correct. I heard a rumor that 6,000 people are going to be sent home. Patrick King came and he referred to me as the second caller, which was true. I said they gave the public misinformation. I never made a statement. I only said what I heard. That's all. If they're going to quote me correct. I don't try to misinform people about anything that he said. And speaking about him, I asked a question of him. And the historian, had they been given what they had asked for by the former government, would they have been so critical of them? Simple question. All he wants is yes or no, one explanation. But instead of getting an answer, wanted to call me and cuss me. One saw me in town. Tell me, want to talk to you? So I walk a little faster. You see, I run in. I say, yeah, I run in. I do the same thing that you're doing. All I want you to do is to come to the public and say yes or no. I want explanations. I can't deal with hypocrites, you know. I can't do it. I think I tell the Prime Minister, no, be careful of these people who don't jump on board your ship. Because they might come and turn, they might do the same thing to you too.
Like who?
Like the same one that called and criticized me yesterday. All of he. Because they were very critical. Look. I told Dennis, I said, I'm going to say it again. I don't have to like a person to give them support. And the kind of person, if you're my enemy and you do something that is right, I'm going to give you credit. If you're my mother and deserve criticism, you will get it. I don't want the government to fail. Anybody who wants the government to fail, want the people to fail. And the people will only fail, we are going to suffer. So the same energies that you can put in trying to 5 years and means to the government who failed, why not trade those same energies to lend a hand support? Because we are going to feel the pinch. And I think they have been doing well. The only thing that I got against with this water thing.
What
if
water
they have
thing?
Gone after the 150 a day, if they have gone after the people that owe water, the water authority minions, even if they have come after and impose the 150, I've got no problem with that. But to just do it and let those people go away scot-free. People at the big hotels, because some time ago they had the management team on CBC, the people business, and they called out somebody to cut off all the hotels that owe the millions. They said, well, it affect the tourist industry. So when the small amount of water gets off, it turn off, it don't affect the small families either. As you know that you owe you should pay a bill and you're not paying it. You are being dishonest.
And if a hotel in Barbados owed, let's say, $20,000, but it had, let's say, 50 guests in it, you turn off the water?
Why not?
So irrespective,
the point is, right?
Do you know what they're telling you? They're basically saying to you, they're saying to you that in those circumstances, if you went and turn off the water, those people would then go back to their destinations, or they would call the people that of influence in their countries to say, look, this is the worst vacation I've ever had. You imagine that I paid for my vacation and came to this place and the water has been turned off? That's the publicity that you're trying to avoid.
I agree. But, you know, there's another thing to it. If they had pay the bills and don't let reach that stage, they won't go worry about me and cut off. You see, we find excuses for all the wrong things that certain people does in this country.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.